Hare Krishna. We sincerely welcome everyone to Sri Radha Gopinath's celebration of Deepavali. This festival historically, or let us say traditionally, has been an integral part of Hindu families since time immemorial. In Bombay, it is celebrated with very noisy fireworks, which very much pollutes the atmosphere with poisonous smoke, damages people's ears, sometimes their hands and their bodies. But it's a celebration. A very dangerous celebration, the way it is today. It is human tendency to take something very sacred and make it into an experience for one's own sense gratification. The celebration of Holi is one of the sweetest leelas of Vrindavan, a leela of the sweetest, most gentle love between the gopas and the gopis. But today it has become all-out war. Many injuries, people sometimes stay indoors out of fear of the holy celebration. And Diwali, its origin is the essence of sweetness and devotion. But today, mad fireworks, booming, usually not in a very artistic way either. But anyways, let us speak something of the origin of Deepavali. We have a few minutes before the beautiful darshan of Sri Radha Gopinath. It is a festival of lights. Ignorance is symbolized by darkness. Knowledge is represented by light. Krishna, Lord Chaitanya has said that Krishna is like the sun, and Maya is like darkness. In the presence of the Son of Krishna, the darkness of ignorance cannot exist. Spiritual life is something very simple. To dispel the darkness, which is the cause of all suffering and miseries, by illuminating our hearts with the remembrance of Krishna. The Supreme Lord appeared in the Treta Yuga as the son of Dasaratha and Kausalya, Sri Ramchandra. Sri Ram, by his beauty, by his humility, and his respect for all living beings, he captured everyone's hearts. Even when Lord Ramchandra was a small boy, he was so caring, such an ocean of compassion for everyone. He did not distinguish or discriminate who to give his love to and who to not. Whether one was an intimate family member, a Brahmin, or a sweeper of the street, or an ordinary laborer in the fields. With cheer, joy, and love, he illuminated everyone's hearts. Therefore, even though the great Dasarath was king, and he was such a great soul, still, everyone was longing for this little boy Ram to take the throne. And when the news of his coronation was announced, the whole kingdom of Ayodhya was inundated with joy and expectation. However, things do not always end up as we expect them to. Kaikeyi, who was a great devotee of Ram and loved Ram like her own son, a chaste and faithful wife of Dasarath, she somehow or other subjected herself to the association of that hunchbacked Mantara, who was influenced by the power of envy and greed. We become what we associate with. Here we find a great person. Ram honored Kaikeyi as he honored his own mother, Kausalya. She was an ocean of good qualities. But even on that level of goodness, we see how bad association corrupted her heart. There was a son of the Lord, Varahadev, impregnated Mother Earth with a child named Bhoma. Lord Chaitanya explained how this Bhoma was very pious, very religious. He had all good qualities. But he associated with Banasura. Somehow or other, he became friends with him. And what happened? Bhoma became Bhomasura. Cruel, conquering lands, killing princes and kings, imprisoning them, capturing their daughters, holding them in prison houses, torturing, Krishna had to kill him. He became the enemy of his own father, the enemy of God. So when Rupa Goswami tells us that one cannot practice Krishna consciousness without the association of saintly persons, it is something very real and practical. Lord Chaitanya said, who is a Vaishnav? A Vaishnav is one who is always eager to serve great souls and who avoids the association of those people who drag down their consciousness. Of course, we have our friends, we have our family members, we may have our business associates or our occupational relationships. A devotee is never disrespectful. Certain relationships are necessary to sustain in life. Thakur Bhaktivinod explains, especially for a householder, one must maintain proper relationship between all sorts of relatives and sometimes friends. However, not to the extent that we are corrupted, not that we necessarily do sinful activities along with them. We should be caring, we should be respectful, but at the same time, we must be very, very careful to preserve the ideals that are sacred in our lives. And the only way we can do that is by having sufficient association with those devotees of the Lord who give us strength, who substantiate and nourish our faith and our devotion. So Kaikeyi became demoniac, envious, and greedy due to association with one person. All her good qualities were spoiled. Envy is like that. One can cultivate so many attributes and virtues, but if one gives in to envy, like fire, could burn all our good qualities and attributes to ashes. So due to her influence, Lord Sri Ram was exiled into the forest for 14 years. The nature of love, Lord Chaitanya explains in Shikshastakam, bereft of the sight of the Lord, yugayatam nimeshena, chakshusha pravrishayatam, sunyayatam jagat saravam govinda virahename. In separation of Govinda, a moment seems like 12 years or more, and the whole world is like a dreary void in his absence. The nature of the devotion of the citizens of Ayodhya was so real that they were all, everyone in the city, except Kaikeyi and Mantara, everyone. They weren't just speaking. They were determined to leave their homes, their comforts, and live wearing tree bark in the forest, eating herbs from the ground for the next 14 years so that they could be with Ram. That was their love. Love is tested. This is a principle in all religions. That actual love of God must have such an exclusiveness that we're willing to forsake anything for the Lord. This is bhakti. Sita, when she was told, you stay home, you be happy, protected, I'll be back in 14 years. She could not tolerate that thought. What is the use of the palace? What is the use of all my comforts and all my beautiful clothes? What is the use of everything without you, Ram? I must go with you. Sri Ram tried to persuade her to stay in so many ways, but Sita would not listen. She was determined. To be with you, even hell would be like heaven. But in your absence, heaven would be the most dreary, miserable hell. I must go with you. My father made a promise that I would be at your side through pleasure and pain, through victory and defeat, through all circumstances. You cannot make my father a liar. I must go with you. And Lakshman had the same conviction. And factually, all the citizens of Ayodhya had that same conviction. But Sri Ram only allowed Sita and Lakshman to go. He ordered everyone to stay back, but they had no power to fulfill his order. As his chariot was moving out, the entire kingdom followed him into the forest. And they were determined. They were not going back 14 years. This is love. They weren't sitting and discussing with one another, what are we going to eat? I can't digest leaves and herbs. They were not thinking like that. And what if we get sick? There's no hospitals in the forest. Who's going to give me medicine? And what about, you know, I'm taking my baby, I'm taking my wife, how am I going to support them in the forest? There's no occupation. And what about my home? What will happen? Somebody may steal it and occupy it. Then I'll never get it back. Yes, many of us have these considerations when we just go away for a few days on vacation. They didn't consider any of this. No, their only consideration was to be with Ram, to be in the service of Sri Ram. That was their life, their everything. So they followed. Sri Ramchandra stopped at a certain place and had everyone take rest because they were very tired. They were walking all day long. And Lord Ram laid down to rest. When everyone saw him resting, they all laid down to rest. And then very early, before anyone woke up, Ramchandra woke up and with Lakshman and Sita and his chariot driver said, let us go immediately. And they didn't just go by a proper road. They were going in a zigzag way and going through streams and everything so nobody could possibly trace the tracks left in the dirt by the wheels of the chariot. And when they woke up without Sri Ram, they were in a turmoil of anxiety and separation. They were running in all directions, looking everywhere. but there was no trace, no track to follow. Then they understood that they had to follow Ram's order. And they lived in Ayodhya. When Bharat returned with Shatrughna from his relative's home, he saw the state of Ayodhya. Everything was dirty. Usually everything's absolutely immaculately clean there. Usually there was always blissful, joyful singing and dancing and nice talking and so much activity. It was like a town of ghosts. All he could hear was absolute silence. Sometimes people crying and groaning in pain. The temples were closed. Total misery. In separation. Of course, we know that this is not really misery at all. It is ecstasy. Because the deeper we absorb ourselves in the remembrance of the Lord, the more the Lord manifests within our heart. And Vipralamba Bhava, love and separation, is such a profound, ecstatic experience. Because in that separation, our entire consciousness, everything, is going deeper and deeper in our hearts in search of Krishna, or in this cave, Sri Ram. And the Lord reciprocates with our love within the heart. Yes, when Bharat returned, he made the plan that I will go to the forest and convince Ram to come back and be king, and I will remain there for 14 years. And the amazing thing is, when Bharat said that, everybody celebrated his decision. Nobody said, no, Prabhu, it's all right. You know, we understand your love, you've proven it. But they were so much in separation from Ram, they were going, Bharat ki jai. Let's go, we'll go with you. So all the prominent people of Ayodhya, Dasarat Maharaj had already died in separation. Bharat had already condemned his mother and rejected her. Shatrughna had already sufficiently beat up Mantarao by just dragging her by the hair and throwing her on the floor and making her cry and breaking her ornaments. And they were all going to the forest. Even Kaikeyi was convinced. All the queens, all the ministers, the Shishtamuni, and the various Brahmins and priests, and so many of the prominent citizens, thousands and thousands and thousands, they all travel long distance to Chitrakoot, where Bharat was going to exchange roles with Ram. But Sri Ram would not accept. For many reasons. One was his father had passed away, and it was his duty to protect the honor of his father. Therefore, he had to fulfill this vow to remain in the forest to protect the dignity and integrity of his father's name. That is a great sacrifice. And also, he had descended into this world to eliminate many great demons headed by Ravana. And there were many wonderful devotees that he was supposed to have his pastimes with, like Guha and Hanuman. And all of this was to be fulfilled. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanarataya sambhavami yuge yuge. Lord Sri Ram was willing to remain in the forest to perform these three activities, to give pleasure to the devotees, to reestablish the principles of religion, and to annihilate the miscreants. Actually, if we really study each part of Ramayana, we find a very central theme that real love is based on sacrifice. That to fulfill one's duty, to fulfill one's vows of honor, one must be willing to undergo great difficulty. This is called integrity. The Lord, by his own example, as well as the devotees, showed the world the sanctity of integrity. Integrity means just that, that one lives by high moral, ethical, and spiritual principles in rain or shine, in good times or bad times, in joy or pain. That is integrity. And in Kali Yuga, this is so much lacking. People are willing to give away the most sacred diamond of integrity for the cheap broken glass of some prophet or some egoistic sense gratification. People are willing to throw away this rare diamond because it appears to be an easier thing to do than maintain our vows and live with dignity. Character is all important for any progress in life. We are speaking of real progress in life. Srila Prabhupada said, "What is the use of all philosophy if you do not have good character?" It is the greatest tragedy even within religious systems of the world. And it has been going on for thousands of years, that innocent people, they lose their faith, they lose their hope when they see that leaders do not have integrity, when they do not live by good character. You can speak so many things, but how we live. And no one can live with integrity. No one can maintain good character without serious battles in life. It's not a cheap thing. To have good character in this age of Kali means to fight wars, sometimes every day. Especially with our own mind and senses. Because Maya Devi, the illusory potency of the Lord, from both within and without, is promising us alternatives. Yes, to live with good character means you have to fight. And to accept that battle is integrity. So Bharat returned with the order of Sri Ram to rule Ayodhya and his wooden sandals. And he worshipped those wooden sandals as the king. And he remained in the forest of Nandigram with the same life style as if he were in the forest for 14 years, wearing tree bark, letting his hair be matted, eating the simplest raw herbs. Some say he ate barley soaked in cow urine, uncooked. He was living more austere than Ram. And yet, he was simultaneously performing his duty of ruling the entire kingdom. Very difficult. Usually, to be a king, you have to have the throne and the palace and the queens and everything else. But he performed the greatest austerity of everyone. And the citizens of Ayodhya were so deeply satisfied with him. But still, they had given their hearts wholesale to Sri Ram, waiting for his return. And there wasn't newspapers or emails, or television, news stations. They didn't even get to hear about Ram. 14 years, there was not even any news. Very difficult. And meanwhile, we know the story from Chitrakoot. Sri Ram traveled to Panchabati. There, Ravana, who was such a great soul, Jai and Vijay, doorkeepers of Vaikuntha. When the Lord wants to have a battle, he doesn't battle with just anyone. The battles like this are with his devotees. So Ravana, Kumbhakarna, great battle in Sri Lanka with the help of Hanuman, Sugriva, Angana. It was the greatest war ever fought in history. Many chapters of Ramayana tell the extraordinary, exciting events that took place in that war. And ultimately, Sri Ram was victorious. Srila Prabhupada explains how in Ram's army, the only two sophisticated weapons were Lakshman and Ram. They both had bows and arrows. All the others were monkeys and some bears. They didn't have any weapons. They had some clubs. They were throwing stones. And Ravana, he had the most highly trained military in the universe. His military was even greater than Indra's. He had powerful mystical rakshasas who mastered the arts of the most sophisticated weapons. Weapons far more sophisticated than what we have today. We may be proud of our nuclear bombs, but in Ravana's arsenals, he had bombs that made these bombs look small. Ravana can shoot one arrow, chant a mantra, and that arrow would divide into 10,000 arrows, shooting at a velocity that was impossible to withstand. Yes, a very powerful army. Ram was victorious. He wanted to show the world that if you are on the side of God, you will win in the end. And if you are not on the side of God, no matter what material arrangements you make, you will lose everything. That is reality. In today's world, people have so many material considerations. But ultimately, if we do not have God on our side, all of our material considerations, they cannot help us. Fourteen years had expired. The citizens of Ayodhya, every moment, they were just longing for the return of Sri Ram, Sita, and Lakshman. They lived only for that purpose. Only 13 years, 6 months, and 27 days to go. That's only 10 years, 4 months, and 3 days to go. And 6 hours and 18 seconds. That's how they lived for 14 years. They could not think of anything else except when will Sri Ram return. And it was on this day of Deepavali, the dark moon day, Sri Ram came on a beautiful chariot, a chariot that can fly in the sky. And he sent Hanumanji to Nandigram to inform Bharat that he is returning. Bharat, who is living, but not only living, serving in separation for 14 years. Faithfully serving. Was reunited with Sri Ram as they both covered each other with the tears of their ecstatic affection. Such a reunion. And then they came into Ayodhya. And the citizens of Ayodhya, they all welcomed Sri Ram with the lamps of their love. But They lit lamps in all directions. Every home was welcoming Ram with the lamps of their love. All the streets, all the windows, all the doors, everywhere. These lamps represented their love and their eagerness to serve. These lamps represented welcoming Ram back into their hearts, into their lives, into Ayodhya. This is the meaning of Diwali. With eager anticipation, when we offer these lamps in our homes, we're offering our home to Sri Ram. My home is your home. Please come. We are your servants. We are welcoming the Lord within our hearts, within our homes. It is not the citizens of Ayodhya. We're not thinking that God is someone that we go to visit on Sunday and the rest of our lives are our own. Not like that at all. That is not bhakti. But often it is like that. We go to the church or the masjid or the temple or the synagogue. We go on Friday or Saturday or Sunday, whatever the day may be. That day, for a few hours, I do something in worship. And even at home, or even in my job, I may do some rituals every day, but the rest of the time is mine. But that is not what Deepavali means. Diwali means, Lord, I am yours. Everything is yours. Manaso deho geho jo kichu mor. Arpilin tu alpade nanda kishore. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he sang and very much expressed the mood of the citizens of Ayodhya. My body, my mind, my words, my family, my home, my occupation, my wealth, everything is yours, O Nanda Kishore. Everything is yours, Sri Ram. And the Lord understands the intentions in our hearts. Krishna does not need our light. Krishna is the source of the sun. The sun is not desperately in need of our little lamp. But when that lamp is offered with affection, with love, with a spirit of surrender, that light illuminates the heart of the Lord. Krishna is illuminated by the love of his devotee, and he reciprocates by illuminating the heart of the devotee. We want to worship the Lord with the light of our love and devotion. And thus, great saintly persons from time immemorial have taught us how to celebrate Deepavali in such a way that it brings us to the ultimate perfection of life. Sri Ram accepted the light of the love of all of his devotees and ruled for many long years. There was no unhappiness. There was only ecstatic bliss in the hearts of all of the citizens of Ayodhya. Because Ram was once again their king. Light dispels darkness. The Supreme Lord is the source of all light. Therefore, Krishna, Ram have appeared in their names. In this age of Kali, the Lord descends in his name to eradicate the darkness of ignorance. So the greatest offering of sacrifice to the Lord is illuminating our own hearts with the light of love by invoking the presence of the Lord through chanting the holy names. And therefore, Diwali, when it is celebrated properly, it is in fact the most joyful celebration. It's a celebration of jubilance, offering the Lord the lamp of our love and welcoming the Lord within our homes and within our hearts. 5,000 years ago, on the day of Deepavali, Yashoda Mai wanted to feed Lord Gopal with the best possible butter. The Brijavasis also celebrated Deepavali. In fact, on this day, it is the day of the appearance of Manasi Ganga at Govardhan. So on Deepavali, tens and thousands of Brijavasis go to Manasi Ganga and all light lamps. It's a beautiful sight to see. All around the whole lake of Manasi Ganga is tens and thousands of ghee lamps. And not only surrounding it, but they also put them in the water to float. And because it is the moonless night, it has a very, very wonderful effect. So it was on this day of Deepavali that Yashoda Mai wanted to make very special butter for Krishna, hoping that this butter would satisfy him so much that he would not feel the need to steal butter from the homes of the neighboring gopis. So she was churning that yogurt into butter with her own hands. If you like, we can tell this story on Sunday. It's a beautiful story. And it is the day that Krishna Krishna drank the milk from his mother's breast. The milk was boiling over on the stove. So she placed Krishna on the ground and went to save that precious, fragrant milk because she was going to serve that to Krishna later in the day. Krishna broke the pot with a stone and went in another room, was feeding monkeys with butter and eating it himself. And Yashoda Mai picked up stick to teach him a good lesson, and he ran away and Yashoda caught him. And then she wanted to bind him with ropes. But you could not. How can you bind Krishna? He's the all-pervading absolute truth. The entire universal creation is inside him. Nothing is outside of him. So how can you put a rope outside him? Every time she tried, it was two fingers too short. But ultimately, when Krishna saw her effort, her sincere effort, which was an expression of her motherly love, he bestowed his mercy upon her. And the combination of her effort and his mercy melted his own heart into butter. And he allowed himself to be bound, to show the world that the absolute truth, who is the controller of all the universes and all the living entities with all in universes, his transcendental attribute, his intrinsic nature, is he loves to be controlled by the love of his devotees. This is the Damodar Leela. And this Damodar Leela was enacted on this day. So at this time, we will give everyone a lamp to offer to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and to Yashoda Mai and Damodar. And everyone should stay seated. We will give the lamps to you where you are. And we will sing the Damodarastakam and have a beautiful darshan while offering the light of our love for the pleasure of the Lord.